Second Chronicles today for the reading of the Word of God. Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter number 6. We'll be in chapter 6 and a little bit of chapter 7 this morning in the book of Second Chronicles. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God this morning. We'll be reading several passages, but for the text, I want to begin reading in verse number 12. This is the beginning of Solomon's prayer of dedication. He's dedicating the house of the Lord. How many believes that the Lord knew what he was talking about when he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching? I'm not sure if you are aware of how much your presence in the house of God encourages others. Amen. And I thank God that we can exhort, we can encourage one another in these discouraging days. The Bible said in verse 12 of chapter 6, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. And Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood, and he kneeled down and upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands toward heaven. Notice verse 14, what he said. Can you see him now? Solomon is humble before his people. He's in a position where they can see him. He's on his knees, and he's got his hands towards heaven. This is what comes out of Solomon's mouth. You say, Pastor, why did it come out of Solomon's mouth? Are you aware that Jesus told us? Because it was what was in Solomon's heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Watch what he said. He said, O Lord God of Israel, this is my text, there is no God like thee. There is no God like thee. In the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled in thine own hand as it is this day. You can be seated. Pray with us, please, and pray for us. Our Father, this morning we want to thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. We want to thank you for those that have come this way today. I look around, I see folks that are visiting, folks that have been away, folks, Lord, that are still not able to get back. I remember this morning, especially Brother Kenny, Lord. I know where his heart is. I pray, God, you'd bless him. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Jerry and her daddy. God, he's very ill. I pray, God, you'd touch him, that you'd help him. Lord, our folks that aren't able to be here, I just pray, God, that you'd minister to them through the Spirit of the living God. And Lord, may the broadcast be a blessing to them. And Lord, we just pray now that you'll help us this morning to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. God, will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The Word of God has left us a text here that's very precious. When Solomon said, there's no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants. I want to ask you something this morning. Brother Ralph already asked in a song, do you know him? Can I say this morning? To know him is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. And to serve him is to know there's no God like thee. I appreciate the Lord. He's been good to us in these days. Amen. I just have four things on my heart this morning out of this text that I want to share with you in your hearing today. The first thing I would like to examine today, when I would like to say there's no God like thee, I want to look at God's hands, or the hand of God that's at work here in the days of Solomon. Can I tell you this? I'm almost persuaded that many have forgotten his hand is still at work even today. God's not asleep. Amen. God knows what's going on. God in the last days told us that there would be pestilence upon the earth. I'm telling you, he said there'd be earthquakes in divers places. Amen. And I know today that God understands and knows what's going on. I appreciate the Lord. But here, there's something a little bit unusual going on. Look with me in verse number 1. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built a house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. I want you to notice the language there. David wanted to. He desired to build the house of the Lord. And God would not let David. David being a man of war. But I appreciate David's spirit. David didn't just swell up and say, well, if I can't build it, I ain't going to do nothing. Oh, David, he loved God. He said, I tell you what, Lord, if you ain't going to let me build it, I'll get everything together so my son can build the house of God. Amen. But I want you to see something here that's kind of, it doesn't just jump at you at first. But Solomon said, I have built a house of thy habitation. If you go down there to verse number 18, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? He said, behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I've built. Solomon wasn't trying to suggest that God would only dwell. Glory to God. Aren't you glad God don't only dwell in the house of God? Aren't you glad, beloved, he can dwell at your house? And beloved, the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, he can dwell in this house. Amen. And thank God that he can. But watch this now. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I want you to notice this. In verse number 2, he said, I have built a house of habitation for thee. But in verse number 4, he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands. Do you see that right there? Boy, that touched my heart as I studied this scripture. I'm telling you, years ago, they got together, Brother J.W. Depew, and then later Brother Jack come along, and these men that have worked, and Brother Merv was mentioned last week about working out there on the bank and ended up tumbling down the bank, and you can think, beloved, listen, we're building this place with our hands, but don't you understand, before it ever got to our hands, it was in the heart of an almighty God. And what God is saying here in the scripture, beloved, listen, Solomon said, I have built, but he's saying it's really not me. It's he that lives in me, amen, that's building the house of God. Aren't you glad Jesus said to Peter, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Aren't you glad Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen to me this morning, beloved. God wants our hands, and God will use our hands, but we need never forget, if there's anything done for the eternal glory of God, it's the hand of God that's doing it. Amen. It's the hand of God that touches hearts. It's the hand of God that builds the house of God. I appreciate this scripture. The Word of God said here, With his hands he has fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David. Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem. Listen to me, beloved. Listen. You may not agree with it. You don't have to. Every man has a right to be wrong. But I tell you, the last president moved our embassy to Jerusalem, that was making a statement. Amen. That was telling the people of Israel, we're with you. I'm telling you, one after another promised to do it and said they would do it. But thank God it finally got done. Amen. I'm just telling you, God's people ought to be praying for the Jew and praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And in so doing, we're praying that the Prince of Peace will come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He said, I've chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. I thought about this as I studied this. Listen, Saul was man's choice. God said he chose David. You listen to me, beloved. Listen to me. Every one of you, listen to me. When man starts making choices, we'll get in trouble. But listen. God's choice, God's man, was the man after God's own heart. Beloved, listen. I sent a resume to a church one time. I was grieved in my spirit when I was filling it out. I was grieved in my spirit when I mailed it. I was grieved in my spirit after I mailed it. You know what I said? I'll never do it again. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen. God's man, listen. It's not all about what you can put on paper. God's man for this place or that place. Amen. The Spirit of God needs to lead God's people and needs to lead God's man. And this book, amen, will never lead us wrong. Amen. And so David was God's choice. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for thy name. The Lord hath performed his word that he hath spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father. I am set on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. I say, there's no God, there's none like thee. Amen. No God like thee when you're looking at God's hands. The second thing I want you to see in the text today, there's no God like thee when you're looking at God's heart. You want to see the heart of God? Look at Calvary. You want to see the heart of God? Look in the Garden of Gethsemane. You want to see the heart of God? Look in the creation. He said, let us make man in our own image. Amen. You say, Pastor, where do you see the heart of God in the text? Look in verse 14 again, where we read a while ago. And he said, this is Solomon praying to God, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Let me tell you something. We can learn something about prayer right here. Beloved, listen to me. We're all guilty of it probably at some point, if not a whole lot in our lives. We run into God's throne room with our request. Am I right or am I wrong? Oh God, we need you to help so-and-so. Most of the time it's not selfish, Brother Steve. We're burdened for others and we're broken for others and we're begging God to help others. But I tell you, I believe this would change our prayer life if we didn't run in there with our requests. But if we just run in there and begin to praise him and begin to exalt him. Amen. I tell you, yeah, every daddy can remember a time. Justin, I don't know if it's happened to you yet, but that boy will grow up and he'll say, there ain't no daddy as strong as my daddy. Amen. There ain't no daddy as smart as my daddy. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about?
And though it's not true, Brother Preston, it's a blessing, amen, to have a youngin' brag on their daddy. And I tell you, I believe it blesses the heart of God when Solomon got out there in front of the people and he knelt down and he said, "There's no God like thee. Lord, there's no God like thee. I know it, and you know it, and I want all the congregation of Israel to know there's no God like thee." We see God's hands. But let's read on in the text. I'll show you God's heart. The Word of God said, "There's no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant." By the way, beloved, you know what that means right there? That means what God says He'll do, He'll do. You say, "Well, Pastor, He hadn't come yet." No, but He said He's coming. Everything He has said He will do, He's either done it, or you mark her down, honey, He will do it. He will do it. The Word of God teaches that He fulfilled His covenant and keeps His covenant. But here's God's heart. "And show us mercy unto thy servants." You want to see the heart of God? You look at God's mercy. You look at God's compassion. You look at God's forgiveness. You see the heart of God, beloved. The Word of God talks about God showing mercy in verse number 14 here to thy servants. If you look down in verse number 21, the Word of God said here, "Hearken therefore unto thy supplications of thy servant, thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, when thou hearest." What's the next word? Forgive. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's anybody in this church house this morning that ain't never experienced God's mercy? You want to see the heart of God? What He wants to do is have mercy. He wants to have mercy on the sinner. But let me give you this, beloved. He also wants to have mercy on the saints. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've lived for God very long, you know I'm telling it right. There was a time when you needed God's mercy. Even as a child of God, beloved, listen. You needed God to forgive you for what you'd said, what you'd done, what you listened to, what you looked at, what you failed to do. You need God's mercy. We need it every day. Every day. The Word of God is looking. We're looking at God's heart. Look at verse 25. "Then hear from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people." Listen, He's not talking about forgiving the sin of the barroom crowd. He's not talking about forgiving the sin, beloved, of those that have gone off into the degradation and the depths of sin. He's talking about His own people. That's why the Word of God said, judgment must first, Brother Aaron, begin at the house of God. Now listen, we need God's mercy in this generation. We need God's mercy. We see His heart. His heart is reflected in His mercy. Look at verse 27. "Then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of the people of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance." Then look with me at verse number 30. The Word of God said, "Then hear from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive." Over and over and over in Solomon's prayer. Listen, oh, I tell you something right now. Listen, the leader's not just praying that God would have forgiveness and mercy on him, but the leader is praying that God would have forgiveness and mercy on His people. Amen. I'm telling you something, beloved. Listen, there's some people, listen, that have allowed some things in this world, beloved, to take them away from the... Listen, they're not social distance. They're spiritual distance. They're out there in left field somewhere, beloved. Listen, they're not close to God anymore. They're not talking to God anymore. They're not reading God's Word anymore. They're not in the house of God anymore. And, beloved, somebody ought to be burdened enough to say, "God, have mercy." Amen. Amen. Some would maybe pray God's judgment on them. No, no, no. Listen, when I deserve God's judgment, I'm glad there was mercy. And I want God to have mercy on others as well. Listen, in verse 39, one more verse here. He said, "Then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Let me ask you a question. It's personal. Do y'all believe God's people still sin against God? I don't believe this is something that's new. Amen. Listen, we're going to touch on it in a little bit. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The first three words, if my people. God's not talking about the devil's people. I used to say it like this. My daddy never did whoop the neighbor's children. They didn't belong to my daddy, but his children. Amen. You say, preacher, why did he do that? Sometimes I wondered. But he told us because he loved us. Amen. And I think that's right. Having been a daddy, amen. I just wish I could have thought of that prayer my daughter did when I was dealing with her about an ordeal. And when she was praying to God, she said, God, help me to accept whatever daddy decides to do. That might have softened it a little. I don't know. Amen. Like we have a choice whether or not we accept whatever daddy decides to do. Beloved, we see God's heart. We see it in his mercy and in his forgiveness. I want you to see, listen, there's no God like thee. The statement, we look at God's hands. We look at God's heart. But I want you to look with me just a moment at the fact that God hears. How many's glad God hears? Listen, you know the idol gods, the dumb gods. I'm not talking about dumb as in they're not intelligent, but they can't speak. They can't hear. There's a whole lot of people in this world worshiping an idol god, a dumb god. But this God right here that Solomon's talking about, when he said there's no God like thee, he's a God that has his ear bent towards the prayers of his children. Watch what the Word of God said here. The Bible said in verse number 19, have respect for therefore to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. Oh, beloved friend, I remember years ago I heard a preacher talking about a prayer meeting. And beloved, listen, it used to be different. I mean that. When we would get in the prayer room, it would just erupt in prayer. And I like it like that. I'm not listening to you if you're praying. You hadn't ought to be listening to me. We ought to be talking to him and know that he's listening to all of us. Amen. A woman told a pastor, said, they knelt in the altar and they all began to pray. She said, I couldn't understand the word they were saying. The pastor told the lady, said, honey, they weren't talking to you. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we need to get back on that praying ground with God. Amen. I'm not talking about just a 10-second or a 30-second or a minute. Get back to that place where we worship him in prayer, where we, listen, ask the Spirit of God to lead us in prayer. I believe he will do that. He hears our prayer. Look at verse 20. That thine eyes may be open to the house, this house, day and night, upon the place where thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth towards this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant and thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven. When thou hearest, forgive. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. If you would understand, you and I would just know there's no God like thee, because he's one that's interested. He's one that wants to hear our requests. He's one that wants to grant our requests. Listen to what the Word of God said in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's a good place to get. You can go in there and tell God how good he is. And thank him for loving you. Thank him for his forgiveness. And thank him for a home in heaven. Thank him for the house of God. Thank him for the people of God. And it's all right to get to a place where you say, God, I don't even know what to ask for. You know what I mean? Because listen, there's times we don't know what to ask for. The Bible said here, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. How many's glad for the Holy Ghost? Amen. I'm telling you, we see God's heart. We see His hands. We see that God hears. The Bible said in chapter 8, verse 27 of Romans, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 5 teaches us that when we pray, we ought to ask according to Thy will. According to Thy will. Prayer is not to get my will done in heaven. Prayer is to get God's will done on earth. And I believe some of the so-called denominations have got that mixed up. I'm talking about the name and claim it. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. God's will doesn't always line up with our will. And what ought to be more important than anything is the will of God when we're asking God in prayer. The Word of God said in Romans 8, verse 34, Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know what? It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt for somebody to come to this altar this morning and say, God, I don't even know what to pray for. But I know you're merciful. And I know the Spirit of God can help me and wants to help me and lead me. Just be quiet before Him a few seconds, maybe a minute or two, and you might be surprised how the Lord will lead. Amen. I'm telling you, God will have mercy. In Hebrews 7:25, the Bible said He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for His saints. You say, preacher, how long is God going to be listening? As long as He lives. Ain't going to live forever. Amen. Go with me now to chapter 7. Chapter number 7. In chapter number 7 of the book of Chronicles, we're not going to preach through the whole chapter, just a couple little texts. Let me get me a drink of water, see if I can get my throat to settle. I won't be much longer before you. But I got something, one more thing I want to share with you. There's no God like Thee. We've looked at His hands. We've looked at His heart. We've looked at the fact that God hears us. But I'm going to tell you something else. Not only does He hear, it's possible to hear and walk away and do nothing. That the Word of God talks about that. You see somebody in need and you just say to them, be warmed and filled, and you just go away. God's not in that. Amen. How can you shut up your bowels of compassion? That's what the Word of God said when you see that need. I'm going to tell you something. God don't just hear. Here's the last thing in the message today. God helps. God wants to help us. God wants to help you. God wants to help your family. God wants to help your children. Beloved, you may not believe it. I believe it with all my heart. God wants to help this country. God wants to help our schools. Listen, there could be something great coming out of all this mess. You may not agree with me, but beloved, I think a lot of it would straighten up. We're blessed where we live in East Tennessee. Now, I'm not just saying that because there's teachers sitting here, but we're blessed. We've got teachers here that actually pray for their kids and actually love their kids. Listen to me. Not just teachers. Going to the prison. Chaplains. You've got chaplains. It's a job. It's a paycheck. They got them an education. They said, I'm going to go in there, just rest and get me a paycheck. Get me a good pension. You got other chaplains that love God. Love the prisoners. Love the Word of God. Love men that come in preaching the Word of God. There's men that are going to be glad to see Coulter coming. And there's others, it's going to expose them. He's going to go in there and preach. Men are going to walk that aisle and experience the mercy of God. And it's going to intimidate them. And they're going to try their best to cut his throat and cut him out and keep him out of the prison, because it exposes their sorriness. But you listen to me. There's a God. Solomon said, there's no God like thee. I said this before. God can get more done in 30 seconds than I could get done in 30 years. God helps. Watch what the Word of God said. In verse number 1 of chapter 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the Word of God said, the fire came down from heaven. Wonder, Brother Steve, I'm just letting my mind wander a minute. Solomon's there before that great congregation of people. You wonder in a congregation, just knowing people and knowing the flesh, you wonder if there wasn't somebody out there thinking, what in the world's he doing? I mean, really? Listen, you can't make me believe that all of them were in agreement. That's a man of God, and he's talking to the God of heaven. No, there's probably somebody that was pretty skeptical. Somebody that probably thought, well, I guess he's just up there showing off. But you know what happened? When Solomon got done, the fire fell. Well, glory. You say, preacher, what was God doing? Was God showing off? No. He was trying to help a group of people to understand that what Solomon said was right. There's no God like me. You show me another God that's answered by fire. You can't do it. Amen. Watch what the Word of God said. The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Notice this. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. I'll tell you something. We need in this generation like we never needed it before. We need God's presence in the house of God. Listen, we can glean from one another's presence and we can gain from one another's presence and we can enjoy one another's presence, but there's no presence like the presence of God, like the glory of God when God shows up. How does God help us? He helps us with His presence. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but it ought to humble us to think that the likes of Him would even come among the likes of us. Amen. Listen, God helps. He helps us with His presence. He helps us with His promise. Look in verse 14. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You see, let me tell you, when we humble ourselves is when we know we can't do it. When we know we need His help. When we know we have to have His help. When we know if He don't help us, it ain't going to get done. Solomon said, if my people, you say, preacher, what's the situation? Look at verse 13. The Bible said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Does anybody see that? Yeah. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. I believe God wants us to learn some things. But I don't believe we're learning them. Instead of God bringing us together, man is driving us apart. Amen. A governor can say we need to do this and he'll get sued. A governor could say we need to do this the opposite. He'll get sued. You understand where we're at, don't you? Amen. And beloved, let me tell you something. I could live the rest of my life, and if I didn't hear these words, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Follow the science. I'm going to say it. It needs to be said. That ain't near as bad as following the scientist. You look at the division. You look at the discord. And I'm going to tell you what, if there's a lot of them had their way, we wouldn't have had one church meeting since all this mess started. But thank God there's no God like me. He helps us, Brother Gary. We don't deserve it. But He helps us. He helps us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. And I'll heal their land. Honey, if America ever needed a healing, I'm not just talking about the pestilence now, but I'm telling you, we need a moral healing. We need a spiritual healing. Beloved friend, these babies are dying in these cities. I don't know if you're keeping up with any of the news. I know that many pastors wouldn't say what I'm about to say, but I believe Black Lives Matter is about to be exposed. Listen, I love black lives. It don't make no difference to me what color somebody is when they come in here. My Lord died on an old rugged cross for this world. The kids at least can get it right. Red or yellow, black or white, they're precious in His sight. But you got people that have become millionaires and now they're going to start tracing the money. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. I got on that because in my heart it kills me that these little baby black lives, they don't matter. They get shot through the window. The cities are going to hell in a handbasket. I used to live 20 miles northeast of Baltimore, and it's a cesspool now. I'm telling you, beloved, they could get help, but I'm pointing to the help that we need. We need help from the God of heaven. God's presence will help us. God's promise will help us. God's place will help us. He said in verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that's made in this place." Listen to me. If you're a member at Bible Way, this place ought to be special to you. If you're not a member at Bible Way, I wish you'd pray about it. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been baptized, you have a good profession of faith, beloved, listen, I wish you'd pray about joining the church here. This place ought to be special. God's place. God's house. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? How many believe God helps? Let me read something to you and I'll close. How many's ever heard of Watchman Nee? Watchman Nee wrote a book entitled Sit, Walk, and Stand. In his book, he describes a preaching mission to an island off the South China coast. There were seven in the ministering group, including a 16-year-old new convert who he calls Brother Wu. The island was fairly large, containing about 6,000 homes. Watchman Nee had a contact there, an old schoolmate of his who was his headmaster, who was the headmaster of the village school. But he refused to house the group when he discovered that they had come to preach the gospel. Finally, they found lodging with a Chinese herbalist who became their first convert. Preaching seemed quite fruitless on the island. And Nee discovered it was because of the dedication of the people there to an idol that they called Ta Wang. They were convinced of his power because on the day of his festival and parade each year, the weather was always near perfect. When is the procession this year? Young Wu asked a group that he had gathered to hear them preach. It is fixed for January the 11th at 8 in the morning, was the reply. Then said the new convert, I promise you that it will surely rain on the 11th. At that, there was an outburst of cries from the crowd. That's enough. We don't want to hear any more preaching. If there's rain on the 11th, then your God is God. Watchman Nee had been elsewhere in the village when this confrontation had taken place. Upon being informed about it, he saw that the situation was serious and called the group to prayer. On the morning of the 11th, there was not a cloud in the sky, but during grace for breakfast, sprinkles began to fall, and these were followed by heavy rain. Worshippers of the idol Tawang were so upset, they placed it in a sedan chair and carried it outdoors, hoping this would stop the rain. Then the rain increased. After only a short distance, the carriers of the idol stumbled and fell, dropping the idol and fracturing its jaw and left arm. A number of young people turned to Christ as a result of the rain coming in answer to prayer. But the elders of the village, they made divination and said that the wrong day had been chosen. The proper day of the procession, they said, should have been the 14th. When Nee and his friends heard this, they again went to prayer, asking for rain on the 14th, for the clear days for preaching, and for clear days for preaching until then. That afternoon, the sky cleared, and on the good days that followed, there were 30 converts. Of the crucial test day, Nee approached. We met again at the appointed hour. We quietly brought the matter to the Lord's remembrance, not a minute late. His answer came with torrential rain and floods as before. The power of the idol over the islanders was broken, and the enemy was defeated. Believing prayer had brought a great victory. Conversions followed, and the impact upon the servants of God who had witnessed His power would continue to enrich Christian service from this time on. I say, hallelujah! There was a God that heard Brother John, a new convert's prayer, or a new convert, somebody that didn't have enough sense but to believe God could show these folks that Jesus is the true and living God, and that their God was dead. He was dumb. He was an idol. And beloved, he believed God. I'll say something this morning. I hope it don't offend you, but beloved, the average new convert would have to backslide to get in fellowship with the average Christian in this generation that we live in. Because they believe God can do anything after that He saved their soul. There was a time when you and I prayed with more faith. There was a time when you and I prayed with more fervor. There was a time when you and I, beloved, listen, we believed more strongly that God can help when nobody else can. Amen or oh me. It's a truth and you know it. Beloved, we've gotten comfortable. We've gotten comfortable. We've gotten comfortable. In a world where we have no business getting comfortable. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Beloved, it ain't going to be long and the angels are going to beckon me through heaven's open door. I'm glad I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Beloved, Solomon got it right. There's no God like thee. When you look at his hands, when you look at his heart, when you look at the fact that he hears us when we pray, when you look at the fact that he has promised to help us along the way. Do you know anybody right now that needs help? Some of you are going through the season, and I know you need help. Wouldn't it God that Pastor could provide the help you need? But he can't do it. All he can do is talk to the one who can. And I promise you he can. I promise you he will. You're here today without Jesus. I promise you if I could, I'd do the work. But it's not these hands that can do the work. It's not this heart that'll make a difference in your life. It's his hands. It's his heart that can help you. Regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of the need, regardless of the distance, there's a God in heaven. You know what I found out? I don't run much anymore. I do good to take a good long walk. But you know what I found out? Brother Larry, I can just make a step towards him. And he runs toward me. That's all God wants. It's for us in faith to make a step toward him. I promise you he'll run to where you are. He'll meet you there. Just make that step in faith. Oh God, I need your help. He'll help you today. He'll help you. He'll help you when nobody else can. He's not dumb. He can speak. He's not deaf, Brother Steve. He can hear. He's not careless. Nobody ever cared for us like Jesus. He can help. He wants to help you today. I mean that. Solomon meant it when he said, Brother Randall, there's no God like thee. You know what? Sister Danita, I could have grew up somewhere worshiping an idol God and thought that I was right the whole time doing it. Listen, I'm glad I grew up where I grew up. I'm glad I heard about Jesus. I'm glad I know, Brother Ralph, my name is there. I'm glad I know it. I'm glad it's sealed. It's sealed in blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Appreciate you being here today. Let's bow for prayer. Get us a song, Brother Ralph, if you will, brother. That'd be a blessing. I've done my best this morning to give you what God gave me. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope you know how much he loves you this morning, how good he is. I mean, we say God is good all the time, and that is the truth. But I tell you, I believe he's gooder than we even know. Don't you? He's a good God. He's a great God. He's my God, my Lord, and my God. That's what Thomas said. My Lord and my God. Can you say that this morning? Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to come in your presence. Thank you, God, for your people. Thank you for your power. May the power of the Spirit of God be at work in this invitation. God, may people come this morning. Spread their hands toward heaven. Cry out, Lord, there's no God like thee. Would somebody believe you this morning, Lord? Trust you. Realizing, our Father, that you're trustworthy. Would somebody, Lord, come on somebody else's behalf? Lord, would somebody come pray for our nation? Would somebody come pray for our kids? Would somebody come, Lord, just ask you to forgive them for their coldness, for their indifference, for the distance. They've drifted away. God, just do a work. Lord, do a work. Please, Lord Jesus, do a work. Lord, I pray your presence would be so real that, Lord, folk wouldn't step away from you. They'd step towards you in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.